Thank you guys for singing. And that group didn't look as good as the ladies' ensemble, but they sound pretty good, I think. So thank you guys for practicing and singing. And if you want to be a part of one of our singing groups, ladies or men's ensemble, they have practices scheduled throughout the month. And get with Miss, if you're a lady, you want to talk to Miss Osborne here and let her tell you what's going on. And if you are a man, talk to Brother Timothy, and he'll tell you what's going on there. We'd love for you to be a part of it if you can. Even if you only sing in the shower, you're still qualified because they even let me in, all right? So take part in that. I was reading this week, and I thought these stories were very fitting for what we're studying today. One of them says, one day a pastor was teaching Sunday school, and as he did, he asked and said, "Can anyone think of a Bible verse about being married?" And a little boy on the front row thought for a moment, and he raised his hand. His pastor called on him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hope that's not true in your situation or from your experience in marriage, but that was his anyway, as he understood it. A husband was speaking with a psychiatrist about his relationship with his wife, and after listening to him for a while, the psychiatrist decided what the husband needed was to learn how to go home and really assert himself and get some authority in his home. He told him, he said, "You need to go home and stop being henpecked by your wife." And he gave him a couple of thoughts about that. So the man went home, takes the doctor's advice. He rushes in, slams the door, shakes his fist in his wife's face and growls, "From now on, you're taking orders from me. I want my supper right now, and when you get it on the table, go upstairs and lay out my clothes for tonight, because me and my buddies are going out tonight, and you're not going to say a thing about it." He says, "Do you know who's going to comb my hair, adjust my pants, and tie my bow tie?" And she quietly looked at him and said, "Yes, I do. The Undertaker." We have a lot of jokes about marriage, and the reason there's so many jokes about marriage is because many of us find ourselves struggling through this relationship on earth that really is supposed to be the greatest relationship that we enjoy on earth, yet too many times we find it to be a struggle and a turmoil. Well, my goal last week and this week has been to present to you a few thoughts that could really help you as a married couple or somebody who might get married one day, you know. And I say might because we never know. Because I remember when I was a teenager, I wondered sometimes if I was ever going to find her or not, or maybe I should say if I was ever going to catch her or not. But then by God's grace, when I got saved, he brought me to Bible college and he let me catch the prettiest one of the whole crew. And I am so thankful. And amen? You better not say my wife pretty. No. I want to share these things with you, not because I have everything about marriage figured out, because I'll be honest with you, I made my wife mad a couple times this week. So we all struggle and we all have these day-to-day issues that we have to deal with. But I do believe from God's word, we find principles that if we put them into practice in our marriages, they can become exactly what God wants them to be. And we can enjoy them the way God wants us to enjoy them. If you want to have an awesome marriage, say amen. If you want to have an awful marriage, nobody wants to. But the sad reality is, all too often, that's exactly what we end up with. Though over 50% of marriages in America end in divorce, and then many stay together and live lives of division and conflict, it really doesn't have to be that way. Our study, Seven Baby Steps to Having an Awesome Marriage, I hope will prove to be the very principles that you need to put into practice in your marriage, like we have to put into practice in our marriage. I hope they will be the keys, if you would, to opening the door to having an awesome marriage. Last week, and by the way, if you weren't here last week and you're married, you need to catch Brother Albert and say, "Brother Albert, I need that sermon," and just hope and pray that it recorded, you know. Just hope and pray that it recorded. You need to get that and take it home with you and listen to it, and then you can, once you know what it said, you can give it to some other people and share it with them as well. But we want to learn how to do this right, and here's where we started last week. I'm going to quickly throw these out to you so you know where we're coming from, and then we'll show you where we're going. Number one was making a concrete commitment to God and to your spouse. The key word there is commitment, if you're taking notes, commitment. The idea is, I am going to commit myself to making sure that I'm all in this relationship, first of all to my spouse, and then secondly to God, because I promised him at marriage, in the marriage altar, I promised him, or it might have been at the justice of the peace, but you promised before God that this is going to be till death do us part. You keep that commitment. You have to be committed to that. If you enter marriage with any other mindset, then it's optional. And God does not present marriage as something that is optional. Amen? Try it again. God does not present marriage as something that's optional. Amen? It's not. Once you're married, God intends for you to be until the day that you die. Number two, working to learn your spouse is the second baby step. I call that homework. That's why I asked you if you did your homework last week. Because we have to, and the Bible teaches this, by the way. These are principles of Scripture. We have to put forth the effort to learn the person that God has had us to marry, because we got to know them. And I shared with you a few little stories from our life, just from me and Stephanie's time that we've been married, where we had to learn one another. I shared a great bit of wisdom from you with you last week. Men are practical and women are what? Pretty. And that's two different things. And if you don't recognize that, you're going to struggle, because the man's going to expect his wife to think practically, and she's not going to, because she's not made that way. And women are going to expect their husbands to think pretty. And listen, there ain't nothing pretty about a man. Amen, fellas? Listen, pretty is almost like a cuss word to a man. Don't even say that in my presence talking about me. I'm not pretty. I'm a man. You can't expect, ladies, you cannot expect for your husband to think pretty. He's going to think practical. So, number one was that commitment that has to be made, and it's got to be stuck to. Number two was this homework that has to be done. We got to learn our spouse. And man, that is a scientific study. Every single day, you're learning her or you're learning him. And then number three, learn how to have a good fight. And the key word there was resolution. And the Bible teaches us, the principle comes from this statement: let not the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. And what the Scripture teaches us there is that as Christians, in every relationship, I made him mad, you know, or Stephanie pinched him, because I'm talking about wife stuff. She might have pinched him, you know, that's possible. But what we learn there is as a Christian, and this applies to all relationships, but specifically we're using it for marriage. Go ahead, Nate. You want the limelight? Go ahead. Everybody sees you with your green suit on. Go ahead. How many of y'all got your green on today? Raise your hand. Got mine. You better not pinch me. Oh, yeah. You forgot. And see, after church, we're going to go around pinching everybody that don't have green on, just so you know. What we learn from that verse in Scripture, as it relates at least to marriage, is that we can't allow our conflict to carry over into the next day. We got to deal with it. Because if you don't deal with it, it'll deal with you. And man, sometimes couples, they will take the simplest little disagreement. I mean, it would be something that's so insignificant, it really doesn't even matter. But yet, we open the door and start arguing about it. We open the door to argument, and then the argument becomes a fight. And then we go to sleep with that fight going on. You get up the next morning, that fight's still going on. And now, like a week later, y'all hadn't spoken to each other because of that thing that you started arguing about. And here's the insanity of it all, and it is insanity. You don't even know what the argument was started about. You don't even know what it was really about to begin with. Because that's true. As a Christian, in our marriage relationship, we have to make the goal always resolution. So you got commitment, homework, resolution. Those are the three key words. We have to resolve this issue so we can move on. And I gave you this statement last week, and I stand behind it again today. Make up and make out. Amen? Married couples, let me try that again. Make up and make out. Amen? You got to. If you don't learn to do that, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. Now, today, let's go on to baby step number four. I want you to turn with me in your Bible, if you have it with you, to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. I want to read these verses that really apply across the board to everything that we're going to talk about today as we begin this time together this morning. Mark chapter 10, look at verse number 6. Jesus has been answering a question about divorce, and in verse 6 he says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Baby step four this morning that I want to jump right into here is simply this. It's the transparency principle. And here's what the baby step is. Develop an open door policy in your marriage. Develop an open door policy in your marriage. And what I mean by that is one of the basic necessities in the marriage relationship is the need for transparency. There must be an openness for there to be mutual trust in a relationship. As a husband and wife, you have to set out as a goal in your life, as a goal in your relationship, you have to set out to be transparent with one another, which simply means, listen, there are no secrets in our marriage. No secrets in our marriage. Let me read you this. The two of you must enhance the one flesh relationship by ensuring that nothing is off limits to the other. Nothing is off limits. There are no secrets. There are no hidden corners in one's life. Because God made the marriage relationship to be one flesh, a one flesh relationship, this means that two people become one. On every level, in every way, we are now one, and we don't live separate lives. We live one life together. One flesh means this is now two lives before, as they come together, they become one life. Now, let me tell you a couple things about that. First, teenagers, be careful. Young people, and not just teens, you could be a single in here, not even a teen. Listen to me. Be careful in your dating relationship that you do not let things escalate so that you begin to live like and act like you're already married. Because this part of the marriage relationship is really reserved only for marriage. We talk about like sexual things and we think in those terms. And by the way, sex is 100% reserved by God for the marriage relationship. And all parents said, amen. Listen, guys, help me here. All parents said, amen. Yeah, it's completely reserved by God for the marriage relationship. Marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, the Bible says in Hebrews. So we understand that. But even beyond that, this aspect of the marriage relationship is also reserved only for marriage. Don't get to the place where, you know, you're going out on a date with Johnny Bob over here, and y'all are just smiling, and, you know, just the greatest thing in the world, and you come to the place where Johnny Bob, young lady, begins to expect you to treat him and respond to him and act towards him like he's your husband. Because listen to me, he ain't. Amen, dads? He's not. But, now that's all I have for y'all in relation to that. So y'all got that? Did you get that? All right, keep that. But in relation to the marriage relationship, it is essential that this is established. And here's what I mean by that. Here's a few thoughts concerning this transparency and this baby step of transparency or openness. Here's the thoughts. First of all, be an open book. What I mean by that is this idea of accountability. For Stephanie and my relationship, and I'll use this as an example for a moment, in our relationship, there's nothing that she does not know about me, and there's nothing that I don't know about her. Now, I know that there might be, you know, a freckle on the bottom of her toe I never saw. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as she goes through her life, as she makes decisions, as she has relationships, as she does things, everything that she is and has and does, I know, and the same applies to me. There are no off limits in the marriage relationship. I know her completely. She knows me completely. You have to be an open book. He should know all the passwords, have access to all the computers and phones, and any other aspect of your life. He needs to know entirely, and by the way, she needs to know entirely as well. And what that means is when Timbo is at home and he goes in the bedroom, he puts his phone down on that dresser, Stephanie knows 100% of the time whenever she wants to. She can pick my phone up and be nosy if she wants to. And it's got a fingerprint thingy, but she knows the password. She can get in there if she wants to. You hear what I'm saying? There's nothing in my house that she don't know about. She can look at my phone anytime she wants to. She can go over here, and I'm not smart enough to understand all this, but somehow or another you can see what I looked up recently. She probably knows. I don't know how, but she does. You can see who I've been emailing and texting, who I've called. She has absolute access to every part of my life. I have no right to ever say to my wife, that's not your business. Because let me tell you something. In the one flesh relationship, everything is your business. Amen? No hidden corners in a marriage relationship. Passwords, By the way, my computer, sitting on my desk right now at home, she knows password did as well, and she's free to go in there anytime she wants to. And by the way, it applies to me as well. You understand what I'm saying this morning? That's important. Because what does it mean if I come home and I'm like stashing my cell phone over here and daring anybody to touch it, or I'm hiding it from her, or I'll go to bed with, in my underwear with my phone tagged on the side because nobody will touch it. I mean, what does that mean? That means as a man, I know I said underwear in church. Yeah, right. That means as a man, I got stuff here that I don't want her to know about. And listen, in the marriage relationship, there are no I don't know abouts. She needs to be open. She needs to have the, I need to have the openness so that she has the right to go into any area of my life and know everything about me. No secrets in a marriage relationship. Transparency is the goal. Secondly, not only is it an open book, but secondly, keep each other informed. Your wife or your husband needs to know where you are, who you're with, what you're doing, and she needs to know everything about what you have. No hiding. Now, I know that could become extreme, and, you know, you could feel like, okay, I go to the bathroom, I'm going to call and tell Stephanie I'm going to the bathroom real quick. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. She needs to know where I am. She needs to know if I go over to Wake Med to visit somebody at the hospital, she needs to know Tim's at Wake Med to visit somebody in the hospital. If I go to the church office, she needs to know Tim's at the church office. If I go down to Durham and hang out with the hood, no. If I go down to Durham and visit somebody or see somebody, she needs to know that's where Tim is and that's what he's doing. She needs to know about my life. Listen, I don't have any hidden bank accounts. And you're like, yeah, I know because you don't have any money, right? Yeah, no hidden bank accounts, no hidden little secrets, no relationships that my wife's not aware of in my life. She knows me entirely, and that's how I want it to be. And by the way, that's how you should want it to be in your marriage as well, if you intend to build a mutual trust in your marriage relationship. It's got to be that way. Thirdly, don't, listen to this now, ladies especially, listen. Don't retaliate over what your spouse openly shares with you. We've got to talk about that for a moment. Don't retaliate over what your spouse openly shares with you. Here's what I mean by that. If your husband, ladies, comes home and tells you that this is happening, or somebody said this, or somebody did this, and you feel like this is a situation, whatever, if they share their heart with you, don't retaliate with that bit of knowledge and become angry at your husband. Listen to me. He came and told you because he wanted you to know so you can help him and encourage him in his life and in your marriage. He didn't tell you so you could beat him over the head with it every single time she got opportunity. That's not why he told you that. Don't retaliate. And by the way, I say that to the men as well because it definitely could go in reverse. Don't retaliate. Live an open book in your married life. Don't keep things hidden. If you got something that you got to hide, then there's a problem. And let me finish that statement with this. If there's stuff that you're hiding in your marriage, your spouse has a reason not to trust you. Is that true? Because marriage, I'm telling you, you're not going to have the kind of marriage we're talking about as long as you don't trust your husband or wife. And if you're hiding something, she has every reason in the world not to trust a word that comes out of your mouth. She has every right to not trust you. Transparency. How do you even begin to have such a relationship as I'm describing? An open book? I would say, first of all, you need to discuss these things. Because, you know, it's possible. A lot of times when I'm sitting listening to a sermon or studying the Bible, I'll learn something I didn't know before. And I'm like, duh, I should have already been doing that and I didn't know, you know. But I know now and I'm going to try my best to. So you need to sit down and say, listen, honey, I just want to tell you, I realized today in church, listen, guys, write some notes here because I'm telling you what to say to her. Honey, I realized in church today that that's not how we've been doing things. And we've been kind of, I hadn't told you what I do. You don't even know what I do. You don't even know where I am all day long. and I hadn't told you about this, and you know what, I hadn't told you about this, and you don't even know how to look on my computer, or you don't even know how to look on my cell phone. And honey, I'm sorry, my intention hopefully has not been to be deceptive. It's not been to hide things from you and live a double life. I'm sorry about that. Here, let's get this settled now. Let's work all this out, and let's get all this stuff, all the cards laid on the table, so we both know what's going on in each other's lives, so we can trust one another. Because as long as we don't trust each other, we are not going to have the kind of marriage God designed for you to have. Amen. That's it. Let's get this straight. So how do you do this? You sit down and talk about it. And get all these things laid out. No hidden spaces in marriage. A few years back, this site, I don't even think it's a big deal anymore, but a few years ago, a site came out called MySpace. And the idea was, this is just MySpace. It's not yours, it's mine, and you don't even know about it. And by the way, it went down south. It went south quick. It went south quick, just so you know. But I'm going to tell you something. There are no MySpaces in marriage. It's all our space. This kind of poses a few problems, though. Let me tell you a quick story, and I'll move on. A few years ago, I was going to go get something for Stephanie for her birthday. That one time I remembered, you know. I'm going to the store to get something for her birthday, and I'm trying to slip away because I'm honest. When I say my wife knows everything about me, she usually knows where I'm at and what I'm doing all the time. So I'm trying to, like, get to Walmart, that really expensive store, to get something really nice, you know, for her birthday. By the way, I saw one of our church members in disguise at Walmart the other day, and they were like, oh, no, no. I was at Walmart looking for a birthday gift, and I was trying my best to not let her know what I was getting her for her birthday. I mean, I was going to go all out and get her, like, some chocolates and some flowers, you know, and some Coke, you know, all the things she really likes for her birthday. Big time. Splurging, you know. I went and I bought the stuff, and first of all, she calls while I'm there. Aisle three, blah, blah, you know, over the leader comes. She's like, what is that? I'm like, what? And that's what I always say. If I can't answer, I'll say, what you talking about? You know, that's all you can say, right? And then I get it, and I put it in my truck, and hide it in the truck, and I pray, Lord, please don't let the kids find this candy, because if they do, they're going to eat it, right? So that's a problem in of itself. So then I get to the church, and I'm like, you know what? I'll just take it home, put it in my office, and I'll hide it in there, because they don't hardly ever go in there ever, so it'll be safe in there. A few days later, her birthday came, and I gave her a gift, and I was so pumped, because I surprised her. I know I did. I'm like, I got it. And then after, she acted so surprised when she opened it up, and she was excited about her candies and whatever else stuff. I don't remember what all I got her anyway. She was excited about it. She acted so surprised. And then later on, she said, you know, I knew what you got me. I said, no, you didn't. She said, yeah, I knew the day you went to Walmart, and I knew exactly what you bought because I found a receipt. You know, I saw every bit of it. I knew it. I'm like, oh, that's why you ain't got no more birthday presents for the last 3 years, you know? We have to learn to be an open book. An open book. Transparency. Baby step number five. The undivided principle, and here's what it says. You must work to keep anything from dividing you in your marriage relationship. Another way of saying this is that the marriage relationship must be the primary relationship in which both of you are committed to not allowing anything to come between you. Nothing. Listen to this verse, Matthew 19:6 again. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. The idea here is that you have to come to the place where both of you are working diligently not to let anything come between you. If you're not careful, you'll get some foreign object in the middle of your marriage relationship, and it'll ruin it. A few years back, we had and this is like huge to my wife. My mother-in-law loves these things as well. I don't know why, but they love them. It's important. Matter of fact, I know for a fact Mr. Fisher had a shovel a couple years back digging in his front yard to install one of these things. A lamppost light in the front yard. That's an essential. Like dishwasher, washing machine, lamppost light. I don't know why, but it is. So we had one in our front yard in Norfolk. And one day we came home and the light didn't work. I'm like, what's wrong? So, of course, being the handyman that I am, you know, I go out there and I'm taking it all apart, looking at it, and I find out what's happened. Somehow or another, some water gotten in there and the bulb exploded inside there. Probably because I've worked on it, right? But anyway, the bulb exploded. And I'm like, man. So I'm looking at it, I'm trying to figure out, I get it all apart, and I'm like, I'm cleaning all the glass and the metal thing that's left in there. I'm getting all that out. And then without thinking about it, I wasn't thinking. I did this. Right when I got done getting everything out, I went to blow all those little pieces of glass out. And when I did, one tiny, not even visible piece of glass flew in my eyeball. Now, you know what? I went the rest of the day. I didn't even know it was there. Got in bed that night. I was sleeping. And about midnight, I woke up. And I was in excruciating pain. I was going to die. I was sure I was going to die. Because I'm going to tell you something. It cost a lot of money to go to the emergency room. A whole lot of money. And for me to go, I'm telling you, it's death. You know, if I go to the emergency room, it's death. I said, honey, I'm going to the emergency room. I got in the car. I drove myself to the emergency room. They got in there, and they got the microscope thing, and they're looking at my eyeball, and they put some dye in there. And the lady says, it looks like somebody has taken a knife and sliced your eyeball in every direction. And she said, I don't even know what did it. I have no idea how it happened, but it's unbelievable what it looks like. And she flushed it out, tried to get it. She never found anything. I figured out what it was later. It was a piece of glass. But that one tiny little bitty piece of glass in my eye messed up everything. And do you know I had to walk around like this for like a week? I was hurting bad. The same thing will happen in marriage if you let a foreign object get in between you. Now, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? I mean, anything that you let come between the two of you. So let me throw you out a couple things that maybe could be some of those things. And then hopefully the Holy Spirit is going to help you think if there is something in your eye, it'll come to mind. Do you know that other relationships with people can come between you and your wife? Just think about this. Let's say you work somewhere where there's this woman who your wife says, I think she's a pretty woman and I don't like that. How many of y'all understand women do not like other pretty women? Amen? That's just how it is. And she knows, she feels that way about them, and you work with her, so automatically you have to keep in mind, men, that your wife feels that way. And by the way, it could be some buff guy like me that she works with. Amen? Yeah. You keep in mind that's how they feel about that person, and you're going to mind your relationship with them because you know that if you don't, that's going to hurt your wife. If you understand that, say, I got it. That makes sense, right? I'm going to be careful about that relationship. I don't want to hurt my wife. Then it could also be a hobby. Now listen, guys, hang on. I might talk about this for a minute. It's not going to hurt too bad. Just hang in here for a moment, okay? It could be something that you really enjoy doing. It could be fishing, golfing. Hunting probably wouldn't do that. But anyway, other things that you enjoy doing. If you're not careful, those things can break into, they can become a foreign object in your marriage relationship. Do you know that family can do that? Do you know that even your own children can do that? As a married couple, we are responsible to make sure that we do not allow anything to divide us, come between us, in our relationship. You hear people say statements like this, my children come first. Well, you know what that statement means? Who don't come first? Your husband. Wrong answer. Listen to me, I know that's hard. And you're like, man, that don't sound right. Yes, it is. The primary relationship is the marriage relationship. Under your relationship with God, and we understand that, the primary relationship is your marriage relationship. And all others are underneath it. They have to be. All others. We have to be careful and mindful that we do not allow something to divide us. No foreign objects in the marriage relationship. If you got that, say, I got it. How do you do this? Number one, keep on alert. Watch for other relationships, hobbies, people, habits, even your own children. Watch carefully to make sure that they do not begin to intrude in your relationship. Number two, listen to your spouse. Hear this. Listen to your spouse. What they say may alert you to things in your life that they feel threatened by. Did you hear that? Just listen to her, guys. She will tell you. She will tell you. Number three, do your part to meet the needs of your spouse, letting them know that they are number one in your life. Those three things will help you keep keep anything from coming between you and your spouse. That's baby step number five. Number six, what I call the renewal principle. Be devoted to keeping a biblical mindset about your marriage relationship. The way this is done is by constantly renewing your mind. I was going to have you to turn to a couple more passages, but I don't have time. I'm just going to quote them to you. Trust me here. You can look them up later. Romans 12, first of all, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible tells us here that it is one of the weapons that we have for our spiritual warfare and the ability to take the Word of God, put it in our minds and hearts, and renew our thinking. You've got to have a biblical mindset toward your marriage relationship. Let me put that in shoe leather. From feelings of inadequacy that somebody may struggle with, to a fantasy life that is impure, there is much wrong thinking around us today. We have to learn to keep a biblical mindset about our marriage relationship. When given the awesome opportunity to have our minds renewed daily by the Word of God, here's what that means. We're going to constantly put good in, feeding on the Word of God. Listen, it is so important in a Christian life that we learn how to take the Word of God and store it in our minds. Take the Word of God and store it in our hearts on a daily basis. I know I harp upon that. I hadn't said anything in a while. I made myself stop because I talked about it every week and I realized that. But here I'm about to pull it out again for a moment. There is nothing greater that you can do for your spiritual life than take the Word of God into your mind and heart every single day of your life. Every single day. Put it in. That doesn't mean you sit down and read the whole Bible every morning because you can't. But what it means is you intentionally take a portion of the Word of God and you implant it in your mind on a daily basis, learning it, storing it, so that you will be able to see your mind transformed, renewed, changed into the mind of Jesus Christ. It is so important. Nothing more important for your spiritual growth than your intake of the Word of God. Listen to me. Nothing more important. You say, yeah, but I got to do this, or I got to do that, or I got to... No, the Word of God must become premier if you're going to have the right mindset. Put the Word of God in your mind. And then secondly, learn to cast your thoughts before God. Listen to this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do I renew my mind? How do I keep the right mindset in marriage? First of all, I'm putting the Word of God in all the time. And secondly, I'm throwing out everything that's not supposed to be there. That means when you have struggles with jealousy, or you have struggles with fear, or you have struggles with just not being able to trust your mate, you're going to have to learn as a Christian married couple, you're going to have to learn how to throw those things out that you don't need in. You got to put them out. He says, casting down strongholds, which literally means tearing down the fortress that has been built into your life that the devil is using to keep you from having the right relationship with your wife, tearing it down and casting it out, getting rid of it. And many times in marriage, the struggle is not because somebody's immoral. The struggle is not because there's some kind of crazy thing going on. It's just simply in the mind. In the mind. A woman refuses to trust her husband. Not because he did anything wrong. We already talked about that. If he's not trustworthy, then there's issues there that we got to deal with, and he's got to grow past. Amen? Amen? Not because, though, he's not trustworthy in this instance, but just because she refuses to trust him and have confidence in him. And then a woman, often finds you find a woman where she finds herself feeling inadequate, and she thinks, well, look at her. I'm not as pretty as she is, or I don't have the same kind of hair as she has, or I'm not as slim as her, or I'm not as tall as her, or whatever. And then she begins to feel so inadequate, and it robs them of the opportunity to have the right relationship in marriage, because she's constantly thinking that she's not good enough to be married to her husband. And by the way, when you look good, guys, right? Amen? But listen. Listen to me. Those kind of thoughts have to be thrown out. They got to be taken out. Because if you don't deal with them, if you don't deal with them, they will rob you of the right relationship with your spouse. Casting down those thoughts. That is the renewal principle devoted to keeping a biblical mindset about your marriage. And then number seven, baby step seven, is what I call the peak principle. Here's what it means. The baby step is this. Realize that the closer the two of you get to God, the closer you get to each other. Let me say that again. The closer you two get to God, the closer you get to each other. The more spiritual you guys get, the better marriage you will have. It's essential that we not neglect our spiritual relationships in this life. That really should be the most important thing to you, is your walk with God. And by the way, for a husband and a wife, you really should be highly concerned with your spouse's relationship with God. So much so that you should watch it. And if you see that he or she is, maybe you feel like they're growing cold in their relationship with God, that should be something that immediately alerts you and you're very concerned about. And you're going to immediately begin to pray about. And if God opens the door and makes it possible, you even want to talk about. It should be the most important thing, really. Because as I grow in my relationship with Christ, and my wife grows in her relationship with Christ, listen, we're going to meet in the middle. Amen? We're going to meet in the middle. And it's going to be better for our marriage, always. Because I'm becoming more spiritual. And listen, every wife wants a spiritual husband if she's spiritually minded. Always. Always. And it's going to make it better. It's going to get better. And listen, every husband loves a spiritual wife because she's going to begin to think biblically. She's not going to be unreasonable about things. She's not going to be judgmental about everything. She's not going to constantly be worried about losing her husband or losing the opportunity to be in this relationship, because she is going to have her mindset upon Christ, and she's going to see that your mindset upon Christ. And listen, you're going to be able to come together in your marriage relationship in a way maybe that you've never have before, because you both are committed to your God. Nothing more important. Nothing more important. We have to come to the place where we are committed to our relationship with God. That peak principle. As we both get closer to God, we get closer to one another. Comes to a peak. Finally, what God intended to be the greatest relationship on earth, and the picture through which others would see him and his glory, can become something very different. Instead of being the window through which people will see him, it can become a broken, shattered glass that is completely impossible to see through. However, it does not have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. Instead, it can be shaped into what it's supposed to be. And these seven little baby steps I've shared to you, all they are is biblical principles that we need to put to practice in our lives to have great marriages. Number one, making a concrete commitment to God and your spouse. Number two, working to learn your spouse. Number three, learning how to have a good fight. Resolution is the key. Number four, developing an open door policy in your marriage. No hidden corners. Transparency is the idea. Number five, working to keep anything from dividing the two of you. Number six, being devoted to keeping a biblical mindset about your marriage relationship. And number seven, the closer the two of you are to God, the closer you will be to one another. I want to challenge you today. Everybody in here that's married, and anybody else that might be, one day. I want to challenge you to recognize these truths that I presented to you. And for our married couples today, I want to challenge you to begin to take these small steps. Talk about them with your spouse. Pray together about any one of these that's absent from your marriage relationship. And then begin to work hard on your marriage relationship, being what it is that God designed it to be. Remember, it's meant to be a picture of the grace of God for people in this earth. So my question to you today is this. Will you begin in your marriage relationship to set out as a goal to have the kind of marriage, number one, that God intended for you to have, but number two, the kind of marriage that truly accomplishes God's desired design, which is simply showing the grace of God to a lost world? Your marriage relationship is supposed to be a window through which people see God. It's supposed to be. But often, instead, we find it as a broken piece of glass that no one can see through. So let me ask you this question today. Are you willing to commit to having this kind of marriage? Are you willing to do whatever is necessary to begin to know your spouse, to love your spouse, to trust your spouse, to be committed to your spouse, to follow your spouse? Are you willing to commit to doing this in your marriage relationship today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. As we prepare to close this morning, I want to do something a little different. Here's what I want to ask you.